I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. The Stanley Cup Finals are underway. Game 3 starts in about 60 minutes with play-by-play coverage right here on 102.5 The Game, and we're going to be talking Preds with Preds TV color analyst Chris Mason, and we're going to get you ready for Game 3 with Zach and Brent and myself, just kind of giving our take on this whole thing. There is lots to talk about tonight. It's all brought to you by day one sponsor Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and of course our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville, with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. And I'm telling you what, they got some great deals going right now. You need to check them out at lazyboy.com. And of course, the man, the realtor, Carter Church with Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson and host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. Coach, any golf today?
No.
No. What?
No, I don't golf that much anymore. I'm on injuries.
You're on IR right now. Is that it? Okay. Well, man. Well, tee times are available, folks. Coach is not playing that much. And, of course, the host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. I understand that they kicked you out of your undisclosed location in East Nashville because you refused to wear skinny jeans.
That's what they told me, but, you know, I always thought I was doing them all a favor by not acquiescing to that request.
Yeah, please, I don't want to see it, okay?
Yeah, I don't even want that image in my mind's eye for that one.
Nobody does.
Yep, exactly. So, let's face it, big news in Pred Nation: announced Roman Josi, Norris Trophy winner. And it's funny, I was talking to some of the guys on NHL Network radio today, and, you know, when I brought up the first Nashville Predator to win a Norris Trophy, they kind of went, oh, yeah, that's kind of weird.
Well, that's because Shea should have won one, but
Shea should have won two, I'm sorry.
Or at least one, and they gave it to Lidstrom, but Roman Josi is one of the classiest people I know. He's nice. He's friendly. He knows he keeps everybody involved in all the things with the team, and he's just a great person, and he's a great player too, as everybody can see, because Hedman's a pretty good defenseman, as everybody's finding out. And Josi had a great year by his standard by everybody. Even though he didn't have many points as Carlson, he was still a better player. And good defensively, great offensively, good defensively, and he's just been he had a great year this year for
him. And let's face it, the way that it is – the way the award is described is the best all-around defenseman.
Right.
Not the best offensive defenseman, Erik Karlsson. Not a lifetime achievement award.
Right. For that year, you're right.
For that year, it's the best all-around defenseman. And Zach, Roman Josi fits that that description.
Honestly, I mean, yeah, I agree 100% with that. I wouldn't hate the NHL adding an award for the best offensive NHL defenseman. I think that would be a very cool award to have. Honestly, what more can you say about Roman Josi in the season he had? Not only does his play on the ice speak for itself, I mean, the way he controls the puck and drives the play is at a level that it's the best in the NHL, and it's not particularly close for the person in second. Look at every advanced metric. Josi just absolutely demolishes the competition when it comes to that. But also, just off the ice, like Coach was saying, you're not going to find a better guy. I mean, you know, whenever I see him walking around the tunnel on game days or anything like that. Always a smile on his face, always says hello. You can tell he has time for everyone around that arena and appreciates everything that they do. And he's just a complete class act.
You know, the interesting piece, just to tell a quick story about the captain, it was interesting, not this past season previously, Roman heard about a charity that was just beginning here in Nashville, helping homeless folks. It's a charity called Home Street Home. And him and Taylor Lewan and a couple of other athletes in the area got together very quickly and put together a fundraiser for this group. I mean, literally in about two and a half weeks. And he asked me to be a part of it, which I did happily. And the interesting piece is that I kept getting texts from folks because Roman was on the road at this point. He wasn't able to be there. I kept getting texts from folks in the Preds traveling party saying, hey, Roman's wondering, how's it going? How much money have they raised? I mean, you know, just finished a game and his first thing off was, hey, how much money did we raise?
Yeah, and he's been the driving force for my golf tournament there with
yes.
the Predators. He absolutely says, you guys, we're going to this because Petey's having it. We're just due for him. And some guys that don't toe the line, that he said he gets on him. So he's a real leader, and he's the first Swiss-born player ever to win an NHL award, I think.
A major one, yes.
Yeah, major
absolutely.
Award.
Absolutely. So and it isn't even a leg lamp. It's a major award, and it's not a leg lamp.
You know who one of his buddies are? It's Federer. That's who one of his buddies are.
Yes. Yeah. You actually see, if you follow his dad on on social media, he does that a lot. So congratulations to the captain. Couldn't be more well-deserved. I'm sure we'll get into that more with Chris Mason in our second segment. But the other news that's coming out of the National Hockey League, you've got something posted to the NHL website. The NHL is planning a full 82-game schedule next season with the usual four-round best-of-seven format in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's Commissioner Bettman over the weekend. Initially, the target was December 1st. To get the season going. I think that's probably going to get pushed a little bit. At least that certainly was the message that the commissioner was pushing, over the weekend, basically saying that the next season might not begin until late December. Who knows? Maybe what we've talked about previously, starting with the Winter Classic, may end up happening.
Yes, and that's, I think when they had the pause and then they had another pause and then they finally got everybody together, and by the time they got everything working and going right, and they did a great job with it in Edmonton and in Toronto, they're just going to need some time. They have to have 55 days off, I think, from the last game of the Stanley Cup final to the training camp. I think it's 54, 55 games, mm-hmm. according to the collective bargaining agreement, and I think that's the time. And I don't think you're going to make it, so you're going to have to start probably in late November for training camp and mid-December to late December for the start of the year.
And
then they'll be four months behind again to get it all back.
Well,
and we'll get it back in 1 year, I don't
think. It's going to end up being more of an Olympic an Olympic-style compressed schedule. It wouldn't surprise me to see that at all. But if you look at it, Zach, basically – the commissioner saying that playing in late July and August was, July, August, and September was important to do for this season. They're going to avoid it at all costs next year.
Right.
And it makes sense. They want to get back to normalcy with it. They want to get the league back on that league schedule. So you're going to see it gradually happen, probably over the next three seasons, as they attempt to get back to that October to June style of season.
The other interesting thing is if you think about, one thing that the NHL will have to deal with maybe more than any other league is whether the border opens between Canada and the United States.
I was just going to say that. We got all these things going on, but if we don't get over the border, the Canadian teams can't come down here, and when they go back, they'll have to be under quarantine. Yep. But the American teams, just vice versa. So, that's really a tough thing. If you don't have the borders open, you can't play games, period.
It
makes me wonder if you're going to see something similar happen to what happened with the MLB, with the Toronto Blue Jays taking up house in Buffalo.
Well, the problem is that's only one team, and they got seven teams. Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. Didn't say it'd be easy.
Yeah, you've got seven teams to be able to try and house if you decide to do it that way. I mean,
even though the bubble was a success, I still don't think they don't want to do that. If they can get away from that, they'd like to. But
well. You've heard me say this for the last couple of weeks, and sorry to interrupt you, Zach, but you've heard me say this for the last couple of weeks. The NHL is watching the NFL so closely right now to see what happens with the players, to see what happens. I mean, I was stunned to see the number of people in AT&T Stadium for the Cowboys game. I mean, I was shocked they put that many people in there. And Zach, I mean, you know, here's the thing. You can track it now. You can look at it, and you can see what happens at this point. People are kind of offering themselves up in a Petri dish.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hey, I'm not going to begrudge anyone with what they do with their personal freedom. You know, go for it.
Sure.
Not what I would do, but hey, you know. I thought it was interesting that Brent brought up the possibility of bubbles. There's a fascinating article on ESPN right now written by a friend of the show, Emily Kaplan, detailing from anonymous sources of players within the bubble about what bubble life truly was like for the players. And a lot of them said, like, hey, we were sold on a lot of bunch of amenities that never really came to pass. Obviously, the debacle with the families not being there is well documented. And a lot of them saying if they were planning on doing bubbles again, even for the playoffs, it would take some heavy convincing of the NHLPA for them to consider doing that again.
Interesting. You know what?
I never heard that. But
I hadn't heard that. I think I'm going to ESPN.com and reading that one with Emily Kaplan. So, guys, we are off and running. Chris Mason joining us in the next segment. And, you know, they have been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. What a great staff. A comfortable environment. They do make it so much easier to get all your dental needs taken care of. And if it wasn't enough, they offer all the latest in dental technology, including in-office whitening, even sedation dentistry. They take care of my teeth, they take care of Zach's teeth, and they can take good care of yours. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles.
Hey!
Oh, my.
Got to pay back.
Kenny on the Wheels of Steel and 102.5 The Game, pulling out soul brother number one, James Brown. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, Brent Peterson coming at you on Slapshot Radio here on 102.5 The Game.
Makes me laugh.
I'm telling you what, he's grooving back there too. I like it. So
you know, it's appropriate. We got the hardest working man in show business bringing in one of the hardest working men in broadcasting. How about that?
Thank you, man.
Man, isn't that a
my roses, my roses.
I cannot beat that intro. So with no further ado, let's welcome one of the harder working men in show business, one of the hardest working men between the pipes, TV analyst for the Nashville Predators, Chris Mason. Chris, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Guys, thank you. Zach, holy smokes. Why am I right now?
I'll let you know where you can send the check, Chris. Don't worry about it.
Got it, buddy.
So, Mace, you got a hype man already, isn't that? I like it. You got a hype man. So, Mace, you know, let's talk a little bit. Big news in Smashville, the McCarron signing. It's on everybody's mind right now. I'm kidding, and we're glad that McCarron got signed. But let's talk about it. Roman Josi capturing the Norris. First time for the defensive factory that the Nashville Predators have been over their 20-plus years. To finally have a Norris Trophy winner means a lot to this franchise.
It really, really does. And it's really about time. I think, you know, Petey's probably talked about this before, and I remember back in the day when, you know, there's a couple years there that I really strongly believe that Shea Weber was deserving of a Norris Trophy, and we all know they gave it to Lidstrom, especially that one year where I felt he was kind of the hands-down favorite for that award, and you know, Lidstrom ended up getting kind of the sentimental pick and all that. But I feel that this year, Roman Josi was hands down the best defenseman in the league, and this is not taking away anything from any of the other guys. They're all fantastic players. They all had unbelievable years. You know, we know it was basically a two-horse race with Carlson and Josi, and Carlson, you know, he had a phenomenal year. He broke records as well for a defenseman. And I just think that A lot of the deeper analytics, which are becoming more and more a part of the game and a part of our sport, social media, I think, played a really big part in, you know, educating people, because it's impossible for all the people voting on this award to see everybody as much as they see certain guys in different markets.
We're on Slapshot. We're on Slapshot Radio with Chris Mason, TV analyst for the Nashville Predators. Zach, got a question for Mace.
Absolutely, Mace. So one thing that Yossi mentioned during his acceptance speech and further questions was talking about the reliance on his defensive partner, Ryan Ellis. What do you think makes them such a fearsome pair in the NHL?
Well, I think they really, in terms of their style, they balance each other out because, you know, they've had years and years to develop the chemistry. I think the coaches, Peter Laviolette, now John Hines, they know they're going to keep those guys out together. Ellis is such a smart guy. He's got a lot of offensive, you know, skill and upside to his game as well. But he knows when Roman's on the ice and he gets the puck, he's going. So Ryan Ellis is really, really complimentary of his style of play. But at the same time, I see a lot of times they're in the defensive zone, and I give a lot of credit to the forwards that are playing when both of those guys are on the ice too, because sometimes Yossi will have the puck, he takes it deep down in the corner, and then all of a sudden I see Ryan Ellis coming in there to support on the cycle, so or going back door. So both of those guys, you know, get involved in the offense. But Ryan Ellis, he's a rock, and it was really cool to hear Yossi compliment him and give him a lot of credit, and you know, in his acceptance speech say that, you know, he might as well split the award with him. That was really classy and cool of him, and it's pretty obvious that those two have a special bond off the ice and on the ice, but it was really nice to see him give Ellis a lot of the credit.
So, Mace, the Predators have Pekka Rinne and Saros, and Saros sort of took the number one job from Pekka this year. What do you think they're going to do next year? Are they going to play Saros as the number one, play him 650 games and let Pekka take the other, or are they going to trade one of them, or what's their plan for next year with those two goalies?
Well, I would think, like, I don't think Pekka's done. I just think there's too many parts in the season that he played at such an elite level for long stretches. I know he struggled for a little bit. So did everybody else on the team. I don't care if, you know, you're talking about 23-year-olds or 37-year-olds. There's a lot of players that struggled at certain points of this year. I think that it's still kind of in that window. Who's ever playing well is going to get the job. Obviously, it's going to start tilting in Saros' favor as the transition, if you want to call it, is going to happen. But as for now, I think it's still up for grabs. Who's ever going to get them the points at that point of the season is going to play. I don't think there's any reason to trade Pekka right now. He's got another year. I think Saros could, you know, have another year at least with him there. But I think, you know, eventually it's going to be trending towards UC Saros, and he's definitely earned more playing time. But I think the NHL now is more of a league where you need two goalies, and no person in this league, Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, you look at that situation or any situations around the league, is safe from not taking a seat to the hot hand. So I think that it's going to be competition and performance-based.
Yeah, just ask Colorado what they think about having goalies hurt. So,
yeah,
you're going to need more. You're going to need Pekka next year. And I was kind of concerned about this year, why they didn't put Pekka in game four of that series when he, you know, Buse had won the back-to-back ones, or back-to-back, and he had won the second of the back-to-back, and then they lost and went down, you know, 2-1, and I thought that was a perfect time to see if, you know, Pekka might be able to steal you one. And so I just thought that was an interesting move that they kept Buse in there the whole time.
Yeah, that was, you know, that's, you know, we're all sitting here too, and I thought too, you know, even that would have been an opportunity to say, hey, let's see if the big man, you know, he's done it before. I thought the game that he played, the half game that he played against Dallas, I mean, they had both had a shutout. They were both awesome.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been, you know, a good opportunity to see if he could steal you one and let him run with it a little bit. They talked about both guys. They're going to need both guys, and that was the time they, you know, they could have, you know, could have used him or one of his performances like that. But, you know, I'm sure that they talked about that ad nauseum, and it's not like Juice played bad, but
no,
he just didn't steal them one. You know,
right?
Kemper stole a couple for them, and that's the reason why they won. I thought the Preds. We all thought, you know, we all know they outplayed the Coyotes, but Kemper stole them that series, and you know, it would have been nice to see Pekka get the opportunity to do this.
It's Slapshot Radio with the TV analyst for the Nashville Predators, good friend of the show, Chris Mason. Zach, got another one for Chris?
Absolutely, Chris. You know, one thing that Nashville kind of gets criticized for a lot is their lack of elite production from their forwards. Looking at the point totals that Yossi puts up, that Ryan Ellis has put up, do you think the defensive propensity and having that green light to go really kind of unfairly plays into that, well, stereotype, I guess would be the word for it?
You know, I don't think so, because other teams have defensemen on their roster that do the same thing. I think when you look at, you know, a lot of guys on our roster, if you want to, you know, talk about Victor Arvidsson health-wise this year, if he could stay healthy, that's going to be a big reason. Other guys' point production will go up as well. I think we all feel, you know, Forsberg is capable of that breakout year. There's more in his game. Matt Duchene this year, he's played on a lot lesser teams and had better production than he did this year. I think there's more that he can give and he can offer in terms of offensive production. I think Ryan Johansson is another player that, you know, he has really good stretches, like all the guys, at certain points of the year. And I find he's such a playoff performer. He's always competed and performed in the playoffs. But I think in terms of an 82-game schedule, you know, you need more from those guys. They're going to be put in those situations to produce and to be on the power play. And I think the power play is a big one where if the guys can ever get that together, clicking at a, you know, 20 to 25% kind of ratio, their point production is going to go way up. And to me, the last couple of years, the power play has been a big issue. And that is, you know, pretty significant amount of points that you're knocking off each of those guys. So I think if they can get that turned around, you're going to start to see the point production come to where we maybe expect those guys to get to. But I don't think, you know, Roman Josi's play really has that much effect. It probably does a little bit in terms of he's got the puck on his stick a lot going through the neutral zone and in the offensive zone. But I just think the best is yet to come, and they can get out there a little higher on their own.
Hey, Chris, wondering, let's turn our attention to what's going on tonight. Dropping the puck in just about 40 minutes, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. Your thoughts on this final so far, and what do you look for in tonight's Game 3?
Man, well, I'll tell you, I did not expect Dallas to get this far. The way that they looked in their play-in or their, you know, round robin, I was just like, oh, man, they're done. But they found a way. They found a way to get back to their identity, which is, you know, defensive, heavy, give up nothing. You know, we'll win two one every single game mentality, and they found a way to find their game. And I just love the storyline of Anton Khudobin, a little, you know, battler who everybody loves. This guy, he's like such a great teammate and such a character, and they really rallied around him. But I thought Tampa was going to walk them. You know, I thought this was going to be an easy Stanley Cup final for Tampa. I thought, you know, as the playoffs went on, that Tampa was the favorite to win. They still are, in my opinion. But and I think they'll probably win it within six. That's my prediction. But Dallas, I've counted out Dallas almost every single series, so I do not want to necessarily bet against them again.
He's Chris Mason, the TV analyst for your Nashville Predators. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time tonight. We really appreciate you joining us. And you have yourself a good offseason that actually is starting to happen in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you, guys. Can't wait for free agency and the draft and all that kind of stuff. So keep in touch.
All righty. Chris Mason, the analyst for your Nashville Predators. And hey, I do want to talk to you about Carter Church, our good friend Carter at Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. Now, let me tell you a bit about Carter. I've gotten to know him a little bit as we work together with the Predators. And, you know, Carter is really a marketing expert. A Navy veteran that uses that military experience, uses that integrity that comes from that. You know what? You need him to get your home sold in this fast-paced market. You also need him as a buyer's agent. I'm telling you, you need to call Carter today. 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church, your real estate professional. If you're buying or if you're selling, he's Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group.
He
ESPN 102.5, The Game, Nashville's best sports talk. It's Slapshot Radio with Brent Peterson, Zach McCann, Paul McCann, coming at you your weekly hour of hockey mayhem and leading you up to play-by-play coverage of Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals, Westwood One coverage right here on 102.5, The Game. And, guys, you know what? This series ramped up the nasty factor pretty quick here. Now, of course, anytime you're playing a team with Corey Perry on it, it makes it kind of easy. But even in this environment, I mean, you're starting to see the animosity really pump up between these two teams, Brent.
I mean, it's been nasty at times, and it only started in Game 2. Game 1, they're sort of feeling each other out, and
yeah.
Dallas played much better than Tampa Bay. But Tampa Bay also finished Saturday night, I think, and they only had the day off like Trotsky's team had, and then they played the next night, and they looked really slow the first game, and they finally got their – they came together as a team, and they said, we got to make this work. And they had one good period, 3-3 goals, and then they sort of let them back in, and they started wearing them down, and – Dallas is really playing well right now. Their lines are all playing well. Their guys are scoring when they have to. Like May said, Hudobin has been fantastic.
Yes.
And that keeps you at 2-1 all the time, and you're always 3-2 or 2-1. If you can get to keep you down under 2, you have a good chance of scoring 3 goals in this league. And that's what you need, at 3 goals every night, and they've been doing it like they should be doing it.
Zach, you've heard me make the comparisons that I looked at this series a lot like the 2017 final. And it seems to be playing out that way. The only thing is Dallas managed to get a win in that first game, but they have completely outplayed, and I would use the word dominated, the Lightning for 5 out of the 6 periods that have been played so far.
Yeah, the shame is when you're playing a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, it has to be 6-6 if you want to be up 2-0, because that team has so much firepower. You know, it's funny, Brent brought up the nastiness in Game 2, but for me, the nastiest thing in this series happened in Game 1 with Patrick Maroon firing a puck into the Dallas bench and actually hitting one of the other players in there intentionally. I thought that was pretty bush league, honestly, and was something I'd expect from number 10 in green rather than a Tampa Bay player.
Well, but Maroon's another one. You yeah. know what? That this is a player, and Zach, we've talked about this off air. Patrick Maroon's a guy I'd love to have on the Nashville Predators. This is again, it's that pot stirrer. I'll use the politically correct terminology there. The pot stirrer right there. But he's always in front of the net. He's always causing havoc. He's always causing problems. Did it for St. Louis last year. Did it for Tampa Bay this year. This is the type of player, quite frankly, I'd love to see on the Nashville Predators, Coach.
Yeah, you'd like to see big, big guys that could skate and have speed and still play the game with their heads too. And so usually you get a guy that's big and strong and he can't skate or he can't play the game at a high level, but a guy like Maroon can play at a high level because he gets big and he's strong, he can hit, he can do all the things, he can get the puck out of his own end, he can carry it a little bit down the ice and go around the net and make plays.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it funny how Corey Perry's always in the middle of everything that goes on in a game? He's in the middle of everything, every night he's there. And he's a pest and he's a pain in the butt, but he's a good player. He's playing really well for him. He stands in front of the net on the power play. And I can't believe I'm saying something nice about him either.
Oh, believe me. I can see it curdling in your mouth too, Coach. I mean, Zach, I can't disagree with what the coach is talking about. I mean, look, you know, we're in Smashville and Corey Perry is persona non grata here in Smashville, but he's had a good playoffs and has been exactly the kind of player that Dallas has needed in this playoff series and this entire playoff run.
Said it last week, I'll say it again here, check the tape. I was one of the first ones calling for the Predators to sign Corey Perry over the summer.
You are.
Because that's the kind of player that you need right now. When you're this deep into it, a player who can ride the line, you know, occasionally jump over it, but get back before the ref sees you, that kind of player pays off in spades. And Dallas is completely inside the head of Tampa Bay right now. Even though this series is tied 1-1, I still like Dallas the rest of the way, honestly.
And we've got the NBC Sportsnet coverage on in the studio right now. And guess who just came out on the ice? The captain, number 91, Steven Stamkos, is skating
wow.
in pregame skate. Going to be interesting to see what happens here because they've been talking about this since the series began, that Stamkos was looking to come back. It's a good lift for your Tampa Bay Lightning right now.
It's a good lift, but it's going to be tough for him, boy. They're at the very best of their top of their games right now. Both Dallas is at the top of their game, and for him to get any room or anything or have speed back for him to cover up and skate and do the things he needs to do is going to be tough. But he's one guy that might be able to do it. Just one slap shot on the power play from that one circle over there, he might just do it. It'd be enough to put him over the top there.
You know, when you're looking at these two teams, I mean, you know, bringing back Stamkos, obviously a huge add, but you're looking at, you know, Alexander Radulov for the, you know, for the Stars, five game point streak. Braden Point, 4 goals in his last couple of games. I mean, you know, the Stars, small s, are, are showing up for this series for the most part. I mean, Zach, you know, I know you've always been a big A-Rod fan, and I mean, I look at the kind of series he's having, and he's a key reason why this is an even series right now with the Dallas Stars and Tampa Bay Lightning.
I still have a Nashville 47 jersey hanging in my closet with Radulov's name on it, so I'm not the most objective person on this type of thing. But yeah, he's been everything that you would expect Alexander Radulov to be, and do not discount Steven Stamkos is one of those players who just has that aura on the ice. That gives a team a lift. I think if he can go and see some power play time, just like you were saying, Coach, that's a huge boon for the Tampa Bay Lightning. But you know the one player I don't hear mentioned much at all in this series or really in this playoffs? Can someone get a life alert check on Tyler Seguin?
Yeah.
He's like that, though. He'll come up and get a big goal, and he'll go to sleep for 4 games, and then it's over with, and it's too late for him. But, hey, Zach, you're picking Dallas the rest of the way, and I'm picking Tampa Bay, so that we'll bet $1 for that, okay? $1?
Ooh, yeah, you're pretty rich on my blood. We'll see.
Okay, we'll go $2 then. We'll go
$2. Okay, all right, come on down here.
So, I mean, it has been fascinating because you look at, you know, you expected Vasilevsky to be, you know, to be a big piece of this. That's the guy you expected between the pipes. But the story, and Chris mentioned it in the earlier segment, Anton Khudobin has just been, you know,
spectacular.
Has put together the run of his career. I mean, this is a lifetime backup / gosh, why isn't he a one kind of goaltender? It's always been potential. And now this is a goaltender that's finally looking up. He's like he's living up to that potential.
Well, he got with a team that was just turning over from an offensive team to a more of a defensive team, and then Bishop got hurt, and he comes in and he's right there. They're right in the playoffs, and Bishop only played one game, I think he got out, and Khudobin was fantastic the first game, and that just builds your confidence. You get better and better, and you do it night after night, and all of a sudden their team starts playing in front of you, even though they're up 2-1 going into the third period. They held the 2-1. He helped out, but they're playing a different style of hockey compared to what Dallas used to play.
Yeah.
And they've become a very good, solid 2-way team now. They do a good job on the power play. They do a great job penalty killing. They do a great job 5-on-5. And then without the puck, they do a great job. So they're just turned into an all-around team, but they used to just let everybody go, and you go skate where you wanted to, and you do whatever you want to do, and you can not back check, and you can go. We want to score goals. Rick Bonus changed all that when he took over this year.
What an amazing job! You know, you look at, you know, quite a few of the last few Stanley Cup winners have changed coaches in the middle of the season.
Always
Pittsburgh in 2017,
yeah.
St. Louis last year. Could happen again this year with
Pittsburgh,
Rick Bowes.
Pittsburgh in 2000.
The cup before that one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
So it's fascinating. But Zach, when you look at this Dallas team, Rick Bowes has really been the difference maker for this team. He has got this team bought in on playing defense for the first time in years that I can remember a Dallas Stars team playing this type of maniacal defense.
It's kind of funny because if there is a word to describe this entire Dallas Stars experience, it's journeyman, because that's what it is. It is a collection of people who have kind of been all over the NHL coming together and just putting on one heck of a show right now. That team is tenacious on the puck. I mean, if you could have picked any team for Tampa to struggle with, These are the Islanders on steroids right now. You've got an even hotter goalie in Khudobin. You've got a team that can really put the puck on the net with that first line in Dallas, and a defense that, like you were saying, is just smothering right now.
And you've got veteran leadership on that team that they brought in. And I don't.
Oh, Joe Pavelski. What
exactly.
More can you say about him?
No, it's the guy I liked.
When you look at Pavelski, and again, I hate to do this, but you got to give credit to Corey Perry because he's showing the exact same thing. I mean, it's leadership in a way of stirring the pot, but it's still there and it's still having an impact on this team. And God, I hate speaking positively about him, but you have to give credit where it's due here. This is really, I mean, I agree with Mace. I saw this as a walk in the park for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I really did. As dominant as they have been, they've been pulled off of this. But I will tell you, I think Dallas, by letting off the gas in just one period, is tied. They should be up 2-0.
You're right. They should be, and they played very well. They played Tampa Bay. They threw everything at them the last period of that one game. They were outshot 20-4 or something like that.
Yep.
But they hung in there and they won. And they won by they got an empty net goal and they hung in there and won. And then the game two, they came out and they didn't let down. They just everything went in on Hugo.
Got steamrolled.
Yeah, he got steamrolled in one period. Now I thought he might pull him, but he did. He knows his goaltenders and he knows he doesn't have Bishop to back him up. So. He left him in there, and he never allowed another goal. The score ended 3-2, just like they were up 3-0, and
right.
Dallas almost came back. But it was just it was funny to see how guys were tired after the first game because mm-hmm. they had only a back-to-back, and then they regenerated a little bit more, but they're still tired. They just didn't look fast like they had against the Islanders.
Well, you're going to see it tonight. Game time in just about, I think face-off's going to be at 7:16, and play-by-play coverage right here, starting at right after we get finished at 7 o'clock on Westwood One. The play-by-play for Game 3 of the Stars and Lightning coming up right here on 102.5 The Game. And we will be right back to close this out and take you all the way to Game 3 on Slapshot Radio right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ah, Kenny, you do have a sense of humor. This may be it.
I try.
Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Game 3 coming up in just a few minutes right here. And, guys, so this is, this is it. You've got only a couple games left. I mean, you're looking at, the possibility of this whole thing finishing up. This weekend. I mean, there's a real opportunity to do this. And, the Dallas Stars, they keep playing like they're playing. As long as they don't have a period like the first period in game two.
They got a chance.
They've got a real puncher's chance at this one.
I agree.
But I still have that comparison. We'll have to see that. You know, we do have a couple other stories we need to get to. I want to talk about a little bit of things going on around the NHL. Zach, talks break off between the captain of the St. Louis Blues, stud defenseman Alex Pietrangelo. Could he possibly be a UFA come October 9?
It's interesting because he's kind of using public opinion to try and pressure the team into giving him the deal that he's looking for right now. It's clear that he wants to remain in St. Louis, but I mean, this is one of the best UFA defensemen that we've seen in quite a few years, honestly. And if there is a team who is licking their chops and ready to back up the Brinks truck and willing to clear out cap space to do it, you gotta be looking to the Great White North in Toronto.
Boy, but here's the thing. How do you do this? How do you do this? I mean, you've got a real, you've got a cap problem. And in Toronto, you got a big cap problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be easy. Kyle Dubas certainly has his work cut out for him up there, but I imagine you're going to see a lot of these teams who are in desperate need for defensive help try and pitch to Alex Pietrangelo about this. Wouldn't shock me to see Edmonton try and get the mix, because, Lord, they could use a defenseman of his caliber on that team. But, yeah, I think that is probably my dark horse pick, would be Edmonton to come after him.
Interesting. Another story going out right now, kind of going back and forth. A trade is being rumored, semi-confirmed, maybe not really, sort of, kind of, between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Florida Panthers. Mike Matheson for Patrick Hornquist. Wow. I mean, a weird one. Okay, are you shedding salary? I guess.
Nope.
But not really. Go ahead, Zach.
It makes no sense. It really doesn't make any sense to me. It's kind of similar to the deal we saw with the Eric Staal trade, only this one is for older players who, in my mind, aren't as good right now. Mike Matheson just strikes me as Jack Johnson 2.0, and boy, do they love Jack Johnson up in Pittsburgh.
it's fascinating to look at, and I mean, look, I understand. Hornquist is a specialty player. $5.3 million a year for the next 4 years, I think. And he's 34 right now.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Interesting. I mean,
Patrick never had a quick step, and he was always very gritty and always very play. He loved to play the game, and he played hard every night. He just can't get there anymore. That's all.
You know what? But here's the thing. I think he can get to the front of the net. He still goes there.
Yeah, he does, but you got to get there first. You got to set the puck up, and he's the best when they have the puck and they're whipping around with Crosby and Malkin, those guys, and he's the third guy. And our team has the opposite problem. We don't have a power play going right now, and we got to get it going. But they say he would help, but 5 years at four more years at $5 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money for a guy that's going to play on your fourth line and go out for a power play here or there.
Especially when you look at what's going to happen with salary.
And don't get me wrong, I love Patrick.
Absolutely,
Hornquist,
yeah.
But I'm just trying to think the business part of it.
Now the interesting piece is when you start looking at Florida fans, they're ecstatic at this trade.
Oh, for sure.
They are absolutely ecstatic because they feel it is going to free up some cap space. It's a $500,000 in cap space it frees up. Okay.
It's the term. I mean, Matheson was on like an 8-year deal.
It's a huge term as far as that goes. It does free up cap space. And I mean, the funny thing about it is all Florida fans are talking about, great, good, we can go after Pietrangelo. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, golf every day. You know, Roberto Luongo loved it down there. So, I mean, you never know what could happen there. And, you know, Florida is one of those teams that, you know, that just seems to can't get out of its own way. I mean,
you know who's going to love Patrick Hornquist? Joel Quenneville is going to have some great ways to use Patrick Hornquist,
absolutely,
even at this stage in his career.
I'm sure he already had some say in what happened. So,
I mean, you look at that and just a fascinating, it's a fascinating thing. And now, look, there's apparently some things have come up in this trade that may not happen. The other thing I want to talk a little bit about, other awards that were given out, some other major awards. Were any of them surprising to you guys? Did you look at a name and go, wow, that was weird? Does any of them not make sense to you?
No, I mean, there were a few where it could have gone either way. I mean, like, I was...
Dreisaitl?
Yeah, I thought you could have gone with Panarin, and I'd have been happy on that one.
Yeah.
I think you could have gone Quinn Hughes instead of Cale Makar, and I'd have been happy on that way. The only one that I think was unequivocally the correct decision, other than Roman Josi, obviously, is Connor Hellebuck for the Vezina. That just made sense.
Yeah, he was great all year.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I looked at it, and I didn't see anyone, and usually there's one that just sticks out to you going, oh, really? You went there. I mean, but I really felt like they did a good job in picking. I'm completely fine with Makar as the Calder. I mean, I feel like that's that's a player that continued to improve, started out well, and continued to improve as the season went on. And honestly, certainly didn't look like a rookie in Colorado's playoff run.
No, he was great. He jumped into the play all the time. He made good passes. He was back, first guy back, and he was just skating ability, all his athleticism, to do the things he needed to do. And so it was great to see him play so well. He's a great player. He's got a little more muscle than the guy we sent out to him. So
Then Sammy Girard.
Sammy Girard played well too. So
absolutely
great young guy.
So we've got about a minute left. I want to get your takes. Okay, we already know who you guys think are going to win the series. Who wins tonight, Coach?
Tampa Bay wins tonight.
Tampa Bay wins tonight. Zach?
Tampa, I think that Stamkos return's big, especially if he's playing on the fourth line with Maroon and Paquette. Come on.
Fascinating stuff. I happen to agree. I think Tampa wins tonight, and I'm going with the coach. I think Tampa Bay does win this series. But again, I think somebody was stupid and called a sweep, and I would never. I don't know who would have been that dumb. But anyway, I still think Tampa wins this series. But obviously, I think it ends up going six. Though I think Dallas wins another one. I absolutely think
I agree with that.
So
I think we're pre-gaming game 7
and
next
we got
week.
And we got $2 on it, right?
Yes, indeed. And we got game 7 pre-game next week if it happens. So thanks for joining us on Slapshot Radio. Back next week, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. A big thank you to TV analyst for your Nashville Predators, Chris Mason, for joining us tonight. And, of course, thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, and Carter Church. Make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio. For our producer, Kenny, our co-host, Brent Peterson, and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.